nights, but I can't help the fact that everyone can see these scars. I am what I want you to want, what I want you to feel. But it's like no matter what I do, I can't convince you. Just believe this is real. So
hi, welcome back to the show. Len Martez here with you on the Champs Wednesday on Black Sports ESPN 1430. Champs Wednesdays means that Champs supplies the lunch for the show. Also, it means that we do a little catching up with Chris Coleman on ESPN 1430. Chris Coleman of TechSideline.com. Christopher, how you doing, brother?
Any day I have a plate of Champs cheese fries in front of me is a good day.
I noticed, man. I noticed. Those things are good, man.
They are,
man.
It's
addicting, too. I mean, you know how they say things about you can't eat just one.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You can't eat a half of one of those things.
Oh, absolutely.
You can't smell those things.
Oh, jeez.
They walk in with that stuff, man. I'm like, where are the cheese fries? Where are the cheese fries?
Yeah.
All right, let's get started here. As a matter of fact, Champs, Wednesday night, I found this out from Chris Coleman and from Oscar Firehouse. Found this out months ago, but I always got to say it. Wednesday night means karaoke night, so don't forget, if you want time away from studying for finals or whatever, head up to Champs, do a little karaoke. You can yell all the stress out. You can scream all the stress out. That's exactly what I do when I sing. It's all screaming. There's no tone, none at all. All right, let's talk a little Hokies football, man. Big recruit signing yesterday. We got a big kid from Norfolk, Tidewater kid. Tell us a little bit about Vincent Painter.
Vincent Painter is our number one recruit in the state, actually. Really good offensive line prospect out of the 757 area. You know, offers from pretty much everybody, Georgia, Miami, you name it. Selected Virginia Tech. It's been rumored that he was favoring the Hokies for quite a while now, and I was pretty much counting him in the fold from the very beginning because I knew we had a really good shot with him. He finally made it official yesterday by verbal in Virginia Tech. He's a solid commit, just continues to add solid depth to the future of Virginia Tech's offensive line. They signed a really good offensive line class last year. They've signed a really good class this year. So the future's looking bright up front for the Hokies.
So you're the guy that gets everyone all pumped up when the guy hasn't really actually committed. But you say, he's pretty much locked in. He's pretty much locked in. The other school, from what I understand, was going to be Miami. Is that correct?
Yeah, Miami was his other finalist. But, you know, he took his official visit down there on the day they got hammered by UVA 48-0.
Not a good time.
And got to see all the sideline activities and everything like that. And I don't think it was much of a chance he was going down there, even if they had won that game or had a good season. He's got a couple teammates playing for the Hokies. He's an in-state guy. He's a Tech guy, you know. So just a really solid pickup for Virginia Tech. You keep signing these top Virginia recruits, and as Frank Beamer's proved over the years, good things are going
to
happen.
Yeah, you know what? It's good to go down to Miami. We're talking to Chris Coleman of TechSideline.com. Catching up with Coleman, brought to you by Champs Sports Bar and Cafe. Good to go down to Miami and see all the pregame stuff when the family's there. I mean, the Canes family, when they roll out Dwayne Johnson, The Rock, and Michael Irvin, and that's when they were closing the Orange Bowl that game. So everyone was there. The only problem is they don't have what they need on the football field to impress a recruit from that standpoint. They can do all they want prior to the game and show them South Beach and all the things that we'll get to see in January. But when it comes to producing on the football field, the Canes haven't done it for a couple of years. Let's talk about South Beach. Now that the Hokies won in the ACC game and won that BCS bid to the Orange Bowl, they go down to South Beach. Are you going?
I'll be there. I can't pass up a trip to South Beach.
That's what I've been trying to get Quentin Penhala to understand. But,
made it to Jacksonville last week, but he can't go to Miami.
Yeah, well, he's dilly-dallying around, and he's going to miss out on a great time, and also he's going to miss out on an opportunity to where the Hokies could end up finishing number two after the BCS title games played, because Hokies win in that Orange Bowl. They'll finish number two, which would be the highest ranking they've ever had.
Absolutely. You know, there's a great opportunity. Virginia Tech has never won 12 games in a season before, and this is her chance. They've won 11, I believe. I think this is the fourth year the Hokies have won 11 games in a season, third or fourth year. They've got a chance to make it 12 now, and that would really be a great, great last game for this senior class that has just won so many games for Virginia Tech in their 4 years here. And, you know, you don't hear a lot about Kansas, but obviously they bring in a big offense. The Todd Reesing quarterback likes to throw the ball all over the field. You know, not totally sure they deserve this game. That's up for debate, I would say. But, it's a chance for the Hokies to go out and win a BCS ball, you don't get that opportunity very often.
Len Martez and Chris Coleman of TexIsland.com joining you on a Champs Wednesday evening. And I'm going to ask you, before we get into Saturday's game, last Saturday's game against BC in that revenge game, I'm going to ask you why you think Kansas shouldn't be there. Listen, and I'm totally in agreement with you, but your answer may differ from mine, because I'm looking at maybe a team in that same conference that could be playing in this game. And Kansas does offer a lot of things as far as the talent on the football field is concerned. They run that spread offense, and everyone thinks that they're all about throwing the football. Be careful, because they can run it too. And believe it or not, I'm a little bit leery of what they can do offensively, because sometimes the Hokies have had a little bit of issues with spread offenses, like Boston College on that October 25th game and last week, and then also against Clemson, the way Clemson moved the football too. So Kansas can bring a lot of things to the table, but why don't you think they should be in that Orange Bowl?
You know, I'm not knocking Kansas at all. They're a good football team, but when you look at the Missouri Tigers, they finished 11-2. Really, I call that 11-1 or 11-1.5, because they lost to the same team twice, Oklahoma, who's an awfully good team, as we know. But they beat Kansas straight up just about 10 days ago. And, you know, the final score was 36-28, but the game was not that close. You know, they got up by a healthy margin there at the beginning. And Missouri also beat Illinois earlier in the year, another BCS team who's going to the Rose Bowl. You know, I think Kansas deserves it more than Illinois. You know, I think Kansas maybe Kansas does belong in a BCS bowl game, but maybe they belong in there above Illinois. But, you know, you can't have three BCS teams from one conference, so they had to pick between Kansas and Missouri. But I don't see how you can make that pick, man. I mean, Missouri's clearly the better team. And I mean, they beat them fair and square, fairly easily.
And the BCS was going to provide the Rose Bowl with the second best Big Ten team after taking Ohio State to the BCS title game, and that's how things work out. Here's my thing, though, Chris, and you made a good point as far as who Missouri has beaten and who Kansas has lost to. Here's the thing that really puzzles me, is the fact that a lot of people have been putting the staple that LSU should be in that title game over Virginia Tech, because they beat Virginia Tech and they beat them handedly, and we're not arguing that.
No.
Although the Hokies are a different team now. But if that's the guidelines, if that's the barometer, then why are you putting Missouri behind Kansas? Because this Missouri team is the same team that beat Kansas. Why are they not in a BCS bowl, but you're putting LSU over the Hokies?
Well, you know, the whole thing's messed up. You know, Oklahoma, LSU win their conference championship games. They jump Idle Georgia. They jump Idle Georgia in the polls. And Virginia Tech wins their conference championship game by 2 touchdowns over a team that the polls ranked number 11 in the country, and they don't jump Georgia. You look at USC, who is 10-2. They were ninth in the Harris poll last week. They beat a 6-6, very, very, very average UCLA team who just fired their coach. And they beat them 24-7. Not all that impressive a victory. And they jump 4 spots to number 5 and jump Virginia Tech by beating an average football team, you know? I mean, what's up with that? I mean, I realize USC's a very good team, and they're getting healthy. But, I mean, so are the Hokies, you know?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's just kind of it's a messed up system from that standpoint.
Len Martez and Chris Coleman of TexIsland.com joining you on a Wednesday evening here on ESPN 1430. I agree with you. Although, I will tell you this much, I'm not a playoff guy. You won't hear me sing, dance, or do all that stuff, because I watch the other sports, Christopher. I watch the NBA. I even watch college basketball. And as much as these games are being played now, and you've got all the conference challenges where the Big East is playing the ACC and the Big Ten is playing the ACC, those games don't mean anything. They mean nothing. And I know that people like putting that out there and saying, well, you know, playoff would be this and playoff would be that. Look, I like the fact that games in September mean something in college football. I like the fact that games in October mean something in college football. I like the fact that since October 6th, about 5 or 6 different teams were number 2 and they got knocked off. And you know what? Those games meant something.
Absolutely, man. You know, you take a look at that West Virginia-Pitt game Saturday night and how much that meant to the entire picture and how great of a day that was in college football, the drama it added to the entire season. If there's an 8 or 16-team playoff or something like that, then we're just sitting here talking about, oh, West Virginia's playing for seeding tonight against Pittsburgh. You know? You talk about, you know, let's say LSU loses a game in October, and all they're talking about is, oh, well, LSU just potentially cost themselves a number one seed in the playoffs and are looking at more maybe a number four or number five seed. That's boring. You know? That's absolutely boring. And, you know, I'm not in favor of it. The only playoff system you'll ever see me supporting at all would be maybe a plus one system. And even this year, a plus one, that wouldn't decide everything.
Absolutely
you'd have
not.
Your top four teams locked in there, and then you who's sitting at number five? Georgia?
Georgia is four.
Georgia's fourth, so right. Oklahoma's five.
Right.
Oklahoma would be sitting there with the arms in there. Yeah.
Why not us?
And, yeah, exactly. And why not them? Because they're right. A darn good football team,
right.
You know? So, you know, I'm just an advocate of the bowl system. I always have been, because college football is a unique sport. And just because every other sport has a playoff system, you know, that doesn't mean college football should.
Len Martez and Chris Coleman of TechSidelines.com, you're singing to the choir here when you say that, because I'm not a playoff guy. I won't be. I cannot be. But let's talk about what happened this past Saturday in Jacksonville. Got to ask you, first quarter, you're watching Boston College move the football the way they did, kind of almost a continuation of the fourth quarter here on October 25th. They gain 156 yards in the first quarter. The Hokies get 16 yards. Did you think it would change so quickly?
I was worried there in the first half, obviously, and I was really happy when the Hokies took that game into halftime tied at 16, because you know if you look at the stats, you know Virginia Tech was losing that football game at halftime, but obviously you know Bud Foster, the king of in-game adjustments, comes out, makes adjustments at halftime. BC only got four first downs in the second half, and three of those were on one drive after the Hokies went up 23-16. BC only one first down in the third quarter. Bud Foster, the best defensive coordinator in the country, hands down. I was worried, but the Hokies got it done, as they've done time and time again this year.
You know, it's funny. You mentioned the adjustments made, and Coach Jagodzinski, Boston College coach, was asked, after the game, what adjustments did the Hokies make? Did they make any adjustments? He flat out said no. Now, anyone watching the game knows that that wasn't the case. Vince Hall asked the same question. Media got the answer that I pretty much thought was the truth anyway. The fact that Vince said that, yeah, we came down on the backs. We made sure that the ends were covered, but we also came down on the backs, and we took the backs away from Matt Ryan. That was pretty much his safety valve, hitting the running backs. It's something they didn't do here on October 25th, except for that late touchdown on the calendar, which was pretty much a downfield throw. You watched the game. You watched those adjustments. I don't know why Coach Jag said what he said, but it was clear the Hokies made that adjustment at halftime.
You know, probably just a statement of frustration from Jags. He's not used to getting your Heisman candidate quarterback shut down for an entire half. I mean, Virginia Tech, you look at what Virginia Tech has done in the fourth quarter since that first BC game. They've outscored opponents 61-0 since then. And that's just closing out games right there. You know, BC has nothing to be ashamed of in that game. They're a good football team. They just lost to a better football team. You know, plain and simple.
All right, Len Martez, Chris Coleman of TechSideline.com here on ESPN 1430. Got to ask one more for you. Good to see the linebackers, the two senior linebackers, finish up the way they did. I'm wondering if this defense is deep enough to handle what Kansas can do and throw at them as far as spread offense is concerned.
I think so. You know, here's a little tidbit. Kansas played Missouri. I think Missouri has the 14th ranked overall defense in total yards, but second best defense they faced was something like 64th or something like that. They have not faced good competition on the defensive side of the ball this year. They've faced about six teams that rank 100th or lower in total defense. They have not seen anything remotely close to Virginia Tech's defense, you know. And I'm not saying the Hokies are going to shut them down or anything like that, but I do know when they played halfway decent competition against Texas A&M and Colorado, they only scored about 16 or 19 points in those games, you know. And they're going to see speed at every position on the field down in the Orange Bowl, and I don't think they're used to that.
Yeah, they're not used to it. They're used to seeing Central Michigan and Toledo and all those other teams. I got to let you go, Christopher. Thanks for the time, brother.
Anytime, man.
All right, Len Martez here with you on ESPN 1430. One more segment to go. Thanks to Christopher Coleman right here on ESPN 1430.